light from the night high. How I adore him, my breath and my sunshine, my all in all. Hallelujah. The great creator, he became my savior and all hearts for me. Oh, how I love you, Lord. Oh, how I, we love you, Lord. How I, how we adore you, Lord. My breath and my sunshine, my all in all, the great creator. He became my Savior and all God's fullness dwelleth in me. One more time, how I love him. Oh, how I love him. Sister Lydia, too loud. How I adore him. My breath and my sunshine. My all in all, the great creator, he became my savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in me. Amen. Let's ask for our world to come pray for us. We'll sing that song. Stay under his blood. Amen. Thank you for the blood. While we sing it, brother Will can come. I'm gonna stay. I'm gonna stay right under. I'm gonna stay. There we are fortified under the name of Jesus. What you do, Jimmy? No, I'm no. Oh, yes, you do.
Father, how thankful we are, Lord, for the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, oh God, what a shield, what a tower of strength it is to us, Lord, to keep us away from the enemy who would destroy us at the very earliest chance. But we are thankful, oh God, that, Lord, you watch over us daily. Lord, every hour, every minute, your eye is upon us, Lord. And it says in your word that you slumber not, Father. How thankful we are to that, oh God, that, Lord, you are watching over us. And, Lord, that you have led us into your house. There's a reason why, Lord, you have brought us here tonight. And we want, Father, to come humbly, oh God, and say, have your way with us tonight, oh God. May your word come and minister to every person, from the youngest to the oldest, Lord. Speak unto us tonight, Father. Our hearts are yearning. We are desiring, oh God, that we would enter into your presence. Even as we commit, Lord, our song leader into your hands and the musicians, use them mightily, Father, tonight, Lord, to lead us into songs that will create an atmosphere which brings your presence into our hearts, oh God. And when the pastor would bring the word, I pray, Lord, that you be the one to speak unto your people tonight, Father. Speak unto us, Father, and mold us and shape us and make us what you want us to be. Father, we love you and we want to thank you, Father, for the things that you have done for us, Lord, as we ask this blessing in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Let's sing that song, I Don't Know Why Jesus Loves Me, while we take our offering. I thank the Lord for his grace. This week I was very sick. I thought I have an interview next week with a very good company. And I was even thinking, I don't think I'll take that job. Here we go again. But it's amazing. You know, sometimes the prophet would pray for people and tell them to go see the doctor. And I just spoke to Brother James and he told me, try this, try that, try that. I tried the stuff. And I phoned Sister Olga. I said, you know what? That thing worked. That's so simple. Just a herbal treatment. Just worked so simple. I couldn't even go, ha. I couldn't breathe properly. But I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful. I was so sorrowful. I couldn't come Wednesday. I couldn't come to go to Carlo last night. I was so sad. I was thinking, I just need power. And thank you, Lord, for the power. Let's sing that song, I Don't Know Why Jesus Loves Me. We'll take an offering. I don't know why Jesus loves me. I don't know why. I don't know why he cares. I don't know why. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, I'm so glad he did. I don't know why, I don't know why, I don't know why he cared. I don't know why, I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, I'm so glad he did. Where would I be? He left his mighty throne. Sorry. He left his mighty throne in glory. Thank you, Lord. Oh, to bring to us redemption story. Oh, yes. Then he died, but he rose again. Oh, but I'm glad. I'm so glad he did. I don't know why. Oh, I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad. I'm so glad he did. Where would I be tonight? Where would I be if Jesus didn't love me? Where would I be? Where would I be if he didn't care? Where would I be? Where would I be if he hadn't sacrificed his life? Oh, but I'm glad. I'm so glad he did. I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know why, I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, I'm so glad he did.
Amen. Let us pray again. Our Heavenly Father, once more, Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, for the blessing of life. We want to thank you for the blessing of provisions. Lord, we want to thank you for all that you have done for us, even healing our brother George. Lord God, may it be that it will be the testimony of every person that's discouraged, that's sick, Lord, that's tired, that's weary. May you touch them tonight, oh Father, that when we leave, Lord, we'll all be glad and rejoicing in our hearts, Father. May you bless, Lord, these offerings that your children have brought. Bless them, Father. May they cover the needs that are in your house tonight, Father. We ask this blessing again in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing that these are the days of Elijah. These are the days of Elijah.
declaring the word of the Lord.
Hallelujah. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. Oh yes, and though these are days of great trial.
Hallelujah.
And darkness and sorrow, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare the way. Oh, behold he comes, riding on the cloud. Oh, lift your voice. Whoa, out of Zion's hill salvation comes. And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. Oh, and those are the days of the harvest. The fields are as white as the world. And we are the... Oh yes, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like a sun. At the trumpet call, it your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There is no God like my God. Oh, no God. Oh, try to think there is no God like my God. He's Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah, behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like a sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation. Behold, behold it, shining. Oh yes. Oh, at the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Amen.
Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. I lift my lips shall praise you, Lord. Oh, we'll bless you, Lord. Thy loving kindness is better. Let's sing that first verse louder. Thy loving, oh, thy loving kindness is better than anything in life. Oh, thy loving kindness better than life. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. Thy loving kindness is better than... I lift my hands, Lord. I lift my hands, Lord, to your holy name. I lift my hands, Lord, unto thy name. My lips shall... I'll praise you, Lord, thus will I bless thee. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life.
Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you, Lord. Thy will I bless you, Lord. Kindness is better than life. Amen.
We're all students of Malachi 4:5. So we want to sing deeper, deeper in the school of wisdom. Daily let me grow. Amen. The exam is every day. And you choose to be chosen. Amen. Only our student is way in the back. We can't see him. He came from Carlo. He's hiding somewhere. When he's more learned, he'll start coming to the front. Amen. But good to see you, brother. Deeper, deeper in the school of wisdom. Deeper, deeper in the school. Love of Jesus, sorry. Daily let me go. Higher. Wisdom, more of grace to. Oh, deeper, oh, deeper. Yeah, deeper and deeper in Christ. And what a blessed hope in thy precious holy word. Deeper, deeper, ignorant Holy Spirit. Please, Lord, take me deeper still till my life is wholly lost in Jesus. His perfect, oh, deeper, oh, deeper, yeah, time. Higher and higher and higher every day. And wiser, blessed Lord, in thy precious holy word. Deeper, deeper, though it cost a trial. Let me go deeper in Christ. Rooted. Hallelujah. 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 I pray, oh, oh, deeper, oh, deeper, yeah, higher and higher, yeah, higher. Blessed Lord, in thy precious holy word. Oh, hallelujah. Deeper, I am every day in Jesus. This mountain shall not be moved. This
this mountain shall not pay more. This mountain shall not be moved, but by my spirit saith them. Oh, not by might, not by might. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And we waiting on you, Lord. Oh, yes. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Say, oh, this mountain shall not be moved. This mountain shall not be moved. This mountain shall not be moved, but by my spirit sitteth. Oh, hallelujah. Let's sing that song, Where He Will Lead Me, I Will Go. He's the everlasting GPS from glory unto glory. And He's leading and He's leading and He's leading. And we want to follow tonight. Amen. Where He will lead me, and I remember twas for Daddy played on Calvary. Jesus shall lead me night and day. Jesus shall lead me all the way. He is the truest of friend to me. For I remember Calvary, oh I delight in His command. Love to be led by His dear hand. Oh, trust His divine will is sweet to me. Stain Calvary. Oh Lord, You are leading. Jesus shall believe, only believe, only believe. All things are possible. All things are possible if we only. Sol le ilungile to me. Dumela fela. sotle ilu.
It's wonderful to be in his house. It's wonderful to be back in fellowship again. Let's come to prayer. Let's lay ourselves on the altar. Thank you very much, musicians. Whatever the Lord wishes. Towards the North Star once again to get our souls back in tune. Father, thank you. Let's open John chapter 4 first of all. We've come for prayer. Let's just get a bit of a thought before we come to prayer. John chapter 4, and then we'll read John chapter 2. We'll read about the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there anybody better that you could read about before you pray? I don't think there's any better way that a person could spend their time than reading about Jesus, speaking about Jesus, speaking to Jesus, fellowshipping with him. John chapter 4. We know the scripture well, Jesus at the well, verse 34. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. My, that's a serious thought. Jesus is saying, my meat, my food, that which satisfies me, the thing which meets my needs, is to do the will of him that sent me. Amen. And to finish his work. And friends, to any believer, you know, the most satisfying thing that you can do is to do the work of the Lord. Yes. No matter the circumstances, no matter the condition. Then he continues on, he says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white or ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And hearing is the saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored and you are entered into their labors. So you can really see one thing about Jesus. We'll see it from John chapter 2, verse 17. Let's take our thought from there. John chapter 2. Let's read it from a little bit above there, or 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. Let's pray. Father, be it unto us according to your word. We've presented ourselves before you, Father, even according to your divine instruction, your counsel that you gave us in your word, not to forsake the assembling of one another together. We've come under such a divine ordinance, a divine covenant. We've come, Lord, this night in the center of your perfect will, in the center of your perfect plan. And Father, we know that's the place that we can have an expectation that you will meet with us, that Father, you will do something beyond the ordinary, Lord, deep down inside of our souls, Father, Lord, to meet our needs. Father, we've come unto this place with that one purpose, that Lord, you may make us, Lord, and equip us better to do what you've ordained us to do. So may you bless each of your people that have come under your blood upon this night. People that have come from here and there. Bless our brother that's visiting from Limerick. Bless him richly, we pray. Our brother Scott, Lord, once again, we lift him up unto you. Father, so many times you've met him, Lord. You've touched him. Lord, Father, his touch has brought forth the healing virtue. Let it be so once again upon this night as we unite our faith together with his, that you'd raise him up from that bed of sickness, Lord, and bring him, Lord, with a testimony once again to your house on Sunday, that your people may rejoice in you. Bless each person that hasn't managed to make it this night, wherever they would be. We lift them up into your hands. But Father, we are glad to be in your house. Father, overshadow us with your presence. Let your blood speak on our behalf. Wash away every guilty spot and stain. Anything, Lord, that would come between us and you. Father, we know there's a perfect atonement. We know there's the bleach of the blood, Lord, that can wash away the vilest stain, Lord. Father, we just pray, let that perfect atonement, Lord, upon this night, Father, Lord, work in its power in our circumstances, we pray, that you may quicken us unto prayer and lead us and guide us, Lord, that as we'd come to the end of the service, Lord, we'd look back and say, surely something supernatural took place inside of my soul. Let it be so, Lord. Quicken your people this night. Help us in your word, trusting in you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's be seated, saints. Just taking a thought from John chapter 2, the zeal of thine house. The zeal of the Father's house. You know, where I got this thought from, there was, you know, people send things around and you can get these little sayings that somebody said. And I really like the saying that said, a zealous Savior deserves zealous disciples. Amen. And that's where I got the thought from. And I said, that's so true. Amen. A zealous Savior deserves zealous disciples. Hallelujah. You know, because like begets like. And for us to be true disciples, for us to really be what we're supposed to be as believers, we should be zealous believers. Amen. Because our Savior, Jesus, was a zealous Savior. And we can see that no person could ever read the life of Jesus and doubt that he was zealous. And what is it to be zealous? What is zeal? When the Bible says, the zeal of my Father's house has eaten me up, there's something about that word zeal. There's something about that thought of being zealous. There's something wonderful about zealous people, especially people that are zealous in the right things. We know the Muslims are zealous, you know, in the wrong channel. You know, they can change the world by blowing things up. But, you know, we are in the right channel tonight. We're in the right place at the right time. We're in a divine channel. We're in the line of his divine will. So the only thing that's required for us to do his will is we need to be zealous. And especially in the age that we're living, the atmosphere of the age, the conditions of the age, this age is going to require spiritual zeal. For a person to really finish their course, for a person to really achieve the purpose to which they've been called, with all the opposition, with the atmosphere of Laodicea, with all these things that surround us, it's going to take a spiritual zeal. It's going to take a something inside of us that these disciples saw reflected inside of Jesus. Now, we've said it before. I remember hearing one somebody preach on zeal, and they said, zeal goes beyond duty. Now, we don't want to just be believers that we come based on it being our duty. There's no zeal in doing your duty. No, that's more like a servant does his duty. But one thing, when you read about Jesus and you see his works, you see his labors, you see his travels, you see his sacrifice, you see how tireless he was in the things that he did, is that Jesus, you'll never find one hint of it inside of the scripture that you could read the Bible and think that Jesus did anything that he did grudgingly. No, there was nobody coercing Jesus or pressuring Jesus to do the things that he did. The spirit that he was in was a zealous spirit. He had zeal. And his zeal was a zeal of his Father's house. He had a desire that his Father's house, the worship should be pure, that his Father should be glorified. He had a desire, he had a zeal to do his Father's will. That was his meat and drink. And he had a zeal to finish the work that he'd been given, his Father's work. You know, and those were the things that he was zealous about. And friend, you can't read a chapter, you can't read any of the Gospels and not see that zeal manifest in the life of Jesus. You know, even when there's persecution threatening him, he's zealous. He'll face up to that persecution because he's zealous to do the work and the will of his Father. Nobody's pressuring. Even he goes to Gethsemane, Jesus is zealous in the things that he does. Amen. When you see Jesus pray, he's zealous in his prayers. Until his disciples would come and say, Master, teach us to pray like that. Because you pray different than other people. In his labors, he was zealous. Even just for one soul, he would get in his boat and cross a stormy sea and go across to Gadara, because there's one maniac there who's needing deliverance. He was zealous, so tired that he slept in the back of the boat. You know, he's tired and he sits on the well and he says it's needful for us to pass through Samaria. You know, he's just like that Jesus. You know, he's so full of zeal. And the more that you read about the zeal that Jesus had, the more that you look at yourself and say, Lord, let me not be a person, you know, that loses zeal. Because zeal is something that is born into every believer when you're first born again. Zeal is a spiritual attribute that's inside of every believer when you first meet Christ. Because it's the revelation of Christ, it's communion and fellowship with Him that gives you zeal. That's the thing that starts the fire burning inside of the soul or the life of a person, is you come in contact with Him. You come in contact with the burning bush Himself, and in the presence of the burning bush, that burning flame, that spiritual flame that's burning, you spend enough time there, it's going to be something which comes onto you as well. Because as we'll see, zeal is very contagious. One of the greatest things that you can do as a believer is spend time with zealous believers. Now, why spend time with the lukewarm? Why spend time with the backslider unless you've got a zeal to help them? You know, but if you find that you're not zealous in your Christian walk, maybe things have affected you. The greatest thing that you can do is go and spend time with zealous people, because zeal is very contagious. You know, you can't see somebody get out on the street with somebody and they're zealous in their testifying. You know, they love to do what they're doing. It's their meat and their drink. It's not something they're doing as a duty. It's not something they're doing just because people are watching. But you can see the thing which they're doing, they enjoy doing. They get spiritual joy. They get spiritual satisfaction from the thing that they're doing. There's certain people that when they're out on the street testifying, they can't think of anything better they'd rather be doing. There's certain people when they pray and get zealous and fervent in their prayer, you know, it's not because other people are, or there's an expectation or pressure from without telling them to pray. They just can't think of anything better than being fervent in prayer, than being zealous in prayer. And friend, each and every one of us in our calling, the calling of the believer is to be zealous in our calling. And I really thought of that. I thought, you know, what is the purpose of prayer? What is the purpose of a prayer meeting? Is to rekindle your zeal. Now you're coming in from the pressures of life. You're coming in from expectations and disappointments. Now you're coming in from temptation, whatever. You're coming in from, you know, in peril among false brethren. You're coming perils from without, perils from within. There's all things taking place all around, things taking place in the message. Those things, if you're not careful, they start having an effect on you. So you got to come back to the place where your zeal was first born, where the zeal was first lit inside of you, and come and get refreshed on a regular basis. And one of the best and greatest ways of doing that is through prayer. Amen. Is through fervent prayer. Amen. It's through drawing nigh unto Him, and He draws nigh unto you, because that is the way that you rekindle the zeal that you once had. And then you go back and do your first works. You go back with that original zeal and go back and do the things which you used to do, which you're commissioned to do. And you'll find there's nothing as satisfying to the soul of a believer than being zealous in the service of the Lord. Whatever your hand finds to do, the Bible says, do it with all your heart. Now, why should we be half-hearted? Why should we only do things grudgingly? No, we give our best to other things. We should study and see the example the world gives to us on this. The world is a rebuke to us. Amen. Look at those sports people. Look at those swimmers in the Olympic Games. And they get up at 5 o'clock every morning from when they're 13, 12 years old. You know, and they'll be swimming how many lengths before they go to school. And then they have to watch their diet. And then they'll be swimming again so many hundreds of lengths after school and obeying strict instruction. Why? They have a zeal. They have a passion and a desire for a certain achievement to gain, like Paul says, an earthly crown that passes away. Now you go and see the zeal that people in false religions have. You know, how they can blow themselves up and how they can, you know, do all manner of things that you and I would never dream of doing, because, you know, they believe they have a zeal that by doing that they're going to please whichever God it is that they serve. Some go on long pilgrimages, and some go up and down the stairs of holy places on their knees, and some beat themselves until blood comes out. Now the Lord doesn't ask us to do any of those things. But the Lord just wants us to have a zeal inside of us. That when we come into His courts, when we come into His service, when He gives us an opportunity to serve Him, that people may be able to see on us that there's a zeal. That these people are not forced to do what they do. That there's an inner something, like the prophet says, a certain something that's bubbling up from inside. There's a certain something that's pressing you from within to do the things that you do. Because like I say, a spiritual savior deserves zealous disciples. And if you think in our age, especially if you think in our day, of what it is that the Lord has done for us, friends, I don't think we have any excuse not to be zealous. Firstly, think about Jesus. Hallelujah. Think about who He is and what He's done for you. Amen. Think of the zeal of the Savior that you had. Amen. Just go and see His life. Go and see what He was willing to endure. Amen. No, to do His Father's will. We had such a Savior. And friends, such a Savior is worthy of everything we could give and more.
Amen.
Now, could you say this? Anything more that you could give to Jesus that He doesn't deserve, we don't have enough to give to Him.
Amen.
He deserves far more than even the best that we could give. You know, so there's nothing which we should look at inside of our lives and say, but that's too hard or that's too much or why do we have to do this? Why do we have to do that? If it gets to that, friends, we need to come back to the altar, the prophet says. Back to the place where you first received the zeal of the Lord and come and renew your zeal. Come back into the presence of that quickening something that quickens the zeal inside of the soul of a believer, just the way that it did when you were young. When you were young as a believer, did you worry about getting in a bus, driving 4 or 5 hours to go for a meeting? You never thought of those things when you were young. You never thought. We used to sleep on the floor in a classroom, yeah, without blankets. When you were young, going for conventions, sleeping on a desk, sleeping on somebody's floor. It was nothing to us. Because we compared what He had done for us when that was real to us, what the Lord had done and was doing for us, friend. The natural result was you wanted to be zealous because you had an opportunity to in some little way do something for Him. But if you're not careful, we lose that after a while. And instead of having that zeal and feeling that it's a privilege to do these things and an opportunity like the disciples who would rejoice in the book of Acts because they had been counted worthy to suffer for His name. That's a zeal, friends. You know, the Bible is full of zealous people.
Amen.
This Bible is the record right from the beginning to the end of zealous people.
Amen.
These were people that were zealous in their worship.
Yes.
These were people who went beyond the call of duty. These are people that didn't put other things primary inside of their life. The most important thing, their meat and their drink, just like their Savior,
Amen.
Was to do the will of them that sent Him and to finish their work.
Amen.
Samson never did what he did because he didn't have a zeal. He had a zeal. Yeah, he had a zeal. Go and have a look at Paul. Go and have a look at Peter. Go and have a look at David. Go and look at Solomon in the days of his glory. These were people that you're willing to give. These were willing people that were willing to labor and to work and to serve well beyond the expectations that people would normally have. And people would look at them like Simeon or like Anna in the temple. No, departing not from the temple day and night, but serving the Lord with fasting and prayer. And people would be saying, but you're pushing it too hard. You'll damage your health. You know, it's not good for you and all these kind of things that well-meaning people say. But friends, there's something about zeal.
Amen.
Zeal wants to express itself. Zeal is looking for some kind of an avenue to express its appreciation back to the one who was zealous for you. Because friends, Jesus was really so full of zeal. The Bible, like I say, if we've got such a book as the Bible, if we're surrounded, like Paul says, by such a cloud of witnesses, that when you see some were sawn asunder, some were cast into the dens of beasts, you know, all the different things which they went through, it says, people of whom the world was not worthy.
Amen.
Those were people that had a zeal to serve their God. And the Bible says, of whom the world is not worthy. And the prophet says, so God has gone to prepare another world for them. There's something. They were a real reflection of what they were supposed to be. Now, if you think of the message of our age. Friends, if you consider the message we've been given, we should be a zealous people.
Hallelujah.
If you consider what it is that the Lord did for you and I to bring us such a message.
Yes.
Now, let's be careful. We don't justify ourselves for not having the zeal. Friends, there's no reason we shouldn't have a zeal. We've got, like I say, a Bible full of zealous people, a Bible full of promises that should make us zealous. And then we've got the example of Jesus, the greatest, who the zeal of his Father's house consumed him. And then we have his disciples, and then we can keep on going, and we can see all of these zealous people inside of the scriptures. The people that were willing, like, what was the man's name? Epaphroditus, where Paul says, you know, he made up your lack of service, and, you know, he served the Lord almost unto death. You know, he pressed himself so hard until he came nigh unto death. But the Lord spared him, Paul says, you know, on his account. So you find just so many things. You can read of Antipas, my favorite, my martyr. You know, you can see of people who poured out their life unto blood. Be thou faithful unto death, and you shall receive a crown of life. You know, you can't go far in the Bible and not see examples and exhortation for people to be zealous and to press beyond what just the norms of a Christian life is. And I think we should serve the Lord like that, because we had a prophet like that. You know, we didn't have a prophet who did what he had to do grudgingly. No, the prophet crossed the lands and went on stormy nights and went to far off continents, went to the jungles and went to the deserts and crossed America. And I mean, left his home for months at a time and had meeting after meeting after meeting. What an example we have just reading the message of the hour. Amen. To see a man who was consumed by the zeal of the Lord. And because of his zeal that he had for the Lord, the zeal of his Father's house, he lost most of the friends that he had. Most of the doors were closed on him because he was zealous for the things of the Lord. Friend, I think there's no way we can look as believers, looking in the mirror of whatever reflection the Lord has surrounded us with, that we can't see the reflection of zeal that we should be reflecting as well. Amen. And like I say, zeal being a contagious thing. You can't spend time even listening. We're listening with the children to the supernatural books again. You can't go and listen to the supernatural books and see the prophet and his ministry and not be challenged inside of your own life. Amen. To say he has a man that he has. Imagine he has a little girl a few months old and she's saying, "Daddy, Daddy, thank you for sending the doll that you sent me. But I don't want the doll. I just want Daddy." And he says, "You know, my girl's what, 9 months old, and I've only seen her twice," or whatever that it was. Friends, that's a zeal. Amen. That's a serious zeal. That's a man that's got a spiritual reality. That's someone we can say is really convinced and then concerned. Amen. He's convinced of the reality of eternal things. Amen. This is someone who believes in the reality of eternal reward, of treasures stored up in heaven. He has a person who's willing and desiring to walk in the bloody footprints of his zealous Savior. Amen. Not to follow and say, if he was so zealous and he was so willing to bear the reproach and to overcome on my behalf, you know, and he calls me to take up my cross as well, let me not do it grudgingly. No, if I've got the hard part of the journey to walk, maybe I've got my affliction is part of what I'm going to have to overcome. Maybe it's persecution. Maybe it's misunderstanding. You know, maybe it's going to be whatever that it is inside of our lives that you all have to face. It's zeal that takes you through those things, friend. It's the zeal of the house of the Lord. That's what we need. You know, I really believe it's so important to do that. You know, that it doesn't matter about the circumstances, doesn't matter about the conditions. Now, if you think of such a message that we have, and we are the disciples of such a message, should we not be zealous disciples? Amen. Should we not be zealous? Yeah. Amen. The disciples of such a book, the Bible, should we not be zealous? Amen. Being the offspring of such a book as the Bible, should this book not kindle zealousy inside of us? You know, and like I say, that's really, really an important thing, because zeal always takes you beyond duty. Amen. The zeal doesn't look and say, okay, well, this is what I'm expected to do. That's exactly what I'm going to do. You know, I'm going to hold back, keep my strength, because I got to go and study for my exams on Monday. No, zeal doesn't worry about the exams on Monday. If it's Sunday and it's time to worship the Lord, zeal gives everything to the Lord. Amen. And says, okay, Monday will take care of itself. You know, Caesar will take care of himself, but first I'm going to give to God that which belongs to God. That which is right, is right. And I'm not doing it grudgingly. I'm doing it because there's something inside of me that wants to express itself. Amen. There's something inside of me that wants to express in some way my gratitude to him because of the greatness of the zeal that he showed to bring redemption to me. Amen. And how faithful that he's been to me. You know, I really do think that, friends, zeal is the big thing that we need. And a prayer meeting is the ideal place to get your zeal back. If you've been losing your zeal, come back to the source of zeal himself, to the burning bush himself, and come and get yourself back into the presence of that something that kindled inside of your soul at one time and took you out of the world and brought you to where you are. I was looking at the definition of the word zeal from the Bible dictionary. I really liked it. It gives quite a definition. It says spiritual zeal it's speaking about. Spiritual zeal is a burning desire to please God. Amen. It's a burning desire to please God. Amen. To do His will. Amen. And to advance His glory in the world in every possible way.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Ah, friends. Zeal, spiritual zeal. Amen. The zeal of your Father's house has consumed you.
Amen.
That's what Jesus was. The zeal of my Father's house has consumed me. You know, all of my thoughts are my reputation. What are people going to think? I don't care about those things. Amen. I'm taking the whip. I'm whipping these people out of here. I don't care about the repercussions. Amen. Because this is my Father's house.
Amen.
This is the worship of my Father. Amen. This has got to be done in an acceptable way. Yeah, and that's why he was willing to pay whatever price. He was like so focused. He didn't look at the consequences, didn't look at the side effects that were going to come. He just had one thing in view. And that was the whole life of Jesus from the beginning to the end, was to glorify his Father. And he says that this is my Father's house. It should be a house of prayer, that you've made it a house of merchandise. And he took now the whip and he whipped them out of the temple. And then his disciples remembered it was written in Psalm 69 by David, the zeal of my Father's house has eaten me up. Our friend, I would so much long if it could come to the end of my life, if we had to live that long in this world, and people could put that on your tombstone and say, oh, the zeal of his Father's house consumed him. What a great epitaph that would be. It would be a wonderful thing. So, that's what zeal is. Spiritual zeal is the desire which the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, puts in the heart of every believer when he's converted. That's how you can tell someone when they're really converted. They're zealous for the Lord. They're zealous for His Word. They're zealous for the message of the hour. You don't have to force them. You don't have to threaten someone and say, why don't you listen to messages? If someone's born again in the right spiritual place, they have a spiritual zeal for His Word.
Amen.
You don't have to force them to pray. Prayer is like breathing. There's something inside of them that wants to express itself. And prayer is an ideal way to express the zeal that's bubbling up inside of them. Some way to find a channel to express what it is that they're feeling inside. Now we know Satan's never going to leave you like that, because Satan knows the power and benefit of a zealous disciple in the kingdom of God. A zealous believer is a dangerous thing to the kingdom of the devil.
Amen.
That's why Satan will try in every way that he can to try to quench your zeal.
Amen.
He'll try through disappointments. He'll try through gossip. He'll try through, you know, other people misunderstanding on the message. He'll try through problems in your body, problems in your home, problems in your job, problems in your study, problems in your finances. But friend, if you'll give that zeal an opportunity to express itself, zeal is more than able to maintain itself in the midst of whatever it is that comes its way. It doesn't matter about those things. As long as you just keep your soul, your spiritual life in the right place, that He will continue to feed that flame of the zeal that's inside of you. You shouldn't look back and say, I remember when I was young, I used to really be zealous for the Lord. Now, what happened since then? Paul says, oh, foolish Galatians, you did run well. What did hinder you?
Amen.
Sometimes it's that little fox that spoils the vine.
Yes, sir.
And sometimes you won't even be aware of what is the something that's eating away at my zeal. But when you come into the house of the Lord and you come into a prayer meeting and you come sincerely before the Lord and say, Lord, I want it to be said of me once again that the zeal of your house consumes me. Lord, what is it that's eating my zeal? Why am I not the same as I used to be? And you bring yourself to the altar and you speak to the burning bush like Moses did. And you let the burning bush start to minister back to you. He'll start to show you those little foxes that spoil the vine. He'll start to show you those little attitudes that you allow to come in. And little things that you didn't used to do that you've allowed to come in. And he'd be saying, these are the things that are eating at the root of your zeal.
Amen.
And you just deal with those things, my friend, and you'll find the zeal of the Lord's house will start to consume you once again. It won't be a duty, it'll be a privilege. It says here concerning spiritual zeal, it says, every believer, okay, it's the desire the Spirit puts in the heart of every believer when he's converted. But would some believers feel so much more strongly than others? And they alone deserve to be called zealous. There's only certain people that deserve to be called zealous. Those are those that have zeal. You know, friends, but we can go through all the cycles of life. Now we can have the springtime in the soul, and then you go to the summer, the fruitful time, then you get to autumn, be careful, and then winter comes, and there's no more fruit, there's no more leaves, and there's no more zeal, and the life goes down into the roots. My friend, the prophet says that's the cycle of revival and death. But you got to be careful with that continual cycle inside of your life. Now we want your consistency. You want something, and no matter what comes, the devil doesn't take you below a certain point. And that's what the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost does in the soul of a person. Satan can't take you below a certain point. He may tempt you, may disappoint you, discourage you, may trap you, trick you, trip you up along the way. But he can only get you down to a certain point. And then there comes, I will restore, saith the Lord. And then the sun now, the earth gets in line with the sun again. And that seed and the pulp that had come out during the winter time, you find the spring sun, the sunshine, starts to shine once again upon that seed. And you'll say, son of man, can these dry bones live? Just put them in the right atmosphere once again. And you'll find a resurrection of that old zeal once again. A resurrection of that old desire. Where you can also say like Jesus, my meat and my drink, my satisfying portion in this life is not my studies. It's not Manchester United. You know, it's not my entertainment. It's not all of these other things. Those are important, secondary, whatever you want to put them down the way. But my meat and my drink is to do the will of my Father and to finish the work that He sent me. Surely that's got to be the most important thing in the life of a believer. That's why it says, they alone, these certain believers that are feel zeal more strongly than others, they alone deserve to be called zealous. Because zeal impels them to make any sacrifice.
Amen.
That's what zeal does. Amen. Zeal doesn't look at the price that needs to be paid. Zeal looks at the job that needs to be done.
Amen.
And says, my Father has something that needs to be done. And people will say, but you won't get enough sleep. It's going to cost you a lot of money. That you don't even consider those things.
Amen.
You said those things will take care of themselves. Let me express the zeal that's inside of me. Let the job be done. That's why it says zeal impels them to make any sacrifice, to go through any trouble, to deny themselves any amount, to suffer, to work, to labor, to toil, to spend themselves, to be spent, and even to die. If only he can please God and honor Christ.
Amen.
Our friend, a genuine believer says amen, because you know that's the truth. You know that. You know, I know what that's like. It might have been more real. It might have been more powerful in experience in days and times gone by. But my friend, the potential's still there. If you'll just get yourself back in the right atmosphere and discern in the presence of the discerning power of the word, what it is that's hindering your zeal? What is it that holding, which is pouring the water upon the flame that once burned so bright and clear, like the song says? No, the potential's still there to express itself. It says, whether they live or whether they die, whether they have health or whether they have sickness, whether rich or poor, whether they please others or give offense, whether they are thought wise or foolish, whether they get blame or praise, whether they get honor or shame. For all this, the zealous person cares nothing at all.
Amen.
You don't care. Yeah. If the Lord lays something upon you and you're zealous, and you're working in the channel of His will, and this is my Father's work, and I need to finish His work. My friend, zeal doesn't look at consequences.
Amen.
Zeal doesn't look at the price, the cost. Now, zeal doesn't look at the expense ledger and say, you know, let's add it all up. Is it going to be worth it in the end? My friend, it's impossible for it not to be worth it. if it's something to be done with in an eternal kingdom. An eternal kingdom of substance, the prophet says. It absolutely has to be done. It says a zealous person burns for one thing, and that thing is to please God and to advance God's glory. That's zeal. I said, that's a wonderful thing. I like in the prophet, when he preaches absolutely, he says, that's a very wonderful word, absolute. And I said, zeal is a wonderful word. But even better than being a wonderful word, it's a wonderful experience. It's a wonderful possession. It's a wonderful something that when you feed it and it continues to grow, then you allow it to express itself. Friends, zeal can do mighty things. In the most unlikely of vessels, in the most unlikely of circumstances, when everybody else thinks there's no point going on, zeal wants to go on. When everybody else says the price is going to be high, we're never going to succeed, zeal presses on and succeeds. Amen. There's something wonderful about zeal. Yes. Now from the normal dictionary, it gives the word zealous. To be zealous is to be totally committed. Yes. Friends, was Jesus totally committed?
Amen.
Absolutely. Was the prophet totally committed?
Yes.
Are we disciples of Jesus? Are we disciples of the message of the hour? So the very thing that gave us birth was totally committed.
Amen.
So the potential to be totally committed is in you.
Amen.
But you know what holds you back is your will many times. Many times it's our will. There's this potential in us to be totally committed, to express zeal, a contagious something that's going to do far more good than all of our rebuking and all of our different things that you do trying to get things done. Zeal is a powerful thing. Zeal is such a powerful example that when people see genuine spiritual zeal in action, friend, it'll condemn them far more than anything else that you can say when they're backslidden. There's something powerful about genuine spiritual zeal. So to be zealous is to be totally committed. It's to be sold out. That's the modern word. To be dedicated. To be on fire. To be burning. To be impassioned, to be zealous is to be fervent. It's to be passionate.
Amen.
I like that. Amen. To be zealous is to be passionate. Friend, with such a message that we've received, surely we should be passionate about this message. If we're not passionate with this message, it's not nothing wrong with God. He's given us everything we need to be passionate. He's given us a message that it's so easy to be passionate about.
Amen.
He's given us a Bible. This Bible, should we not be passionate about God's word? We should be passionate because there's people who are passionate that you can read about in almost every page of this book.
Amen.
We can go back to David. We can go back all the way to Abraham. These were people that were zealous for the kingdom, zealous to do the will of them that called him and to finish his work. Just as we come to pray, to be zealous is to have passionate ardor in the pursuit of something. Our friends and saints, when they get married, they have a zeal. You will speak until 3 in the morning on the telephone, get up at 5:30 to go to work, and you won't complain. Yeah, that's how we all were. You'll get on an aeroplane, though you have to put yourself almost in overdraft and not know where the rent's going to be paid at the end of the month, because it's an opportunity to fly there to see her or him, Mr. or Mrs. Wright. Look at the zeal that you have in these kind of things. Look at the zeal these people have in business. Look at people like Steve Jobs. Look at his zeal. He was willing to sacrifice his family, sacrifice his personal life, because he had a burning desire to see certain things expressed, things that would pass away. How about you and I, friends? We've got a message that is so full of precious promises. We should be zealous to see these promises fulfilled. That should be our zeal, to say, I'm zealous to see this word become flesh inside of my life. You know, Paul, when he speaks to the Corinthians, there's a lot of scriptures in the Bible speaking of being zealous. And he says in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, you are zealous of spiritual gifts. And that was good. And because they were zealous of spiritual gifts, they had a lot of spiritual gifts. So how much if you're zealous about souls?
Yes, sir.
Should you not get a harvest of souls? If you're zealous about seeing God's word fulfilled, surely you'll see God's word fulfilled. Because zeal won't take no for an answer. Zeal cannot be satisfied until the object has been achieved. There's a certain something. It's a certain something that burns and says, I've got to keep burning until this something is fulfilled. Amen. There's something about being zealous. Now, as you'd come to pray, ask yourself inside of your life, what are you zealous about? Because everybody's zealous about something. Yes. Some people are zealous about Gaelic. Some people are zealous about, you know, Croke Park on a Sunday. And they'll dress themselves up and put on silly hats and all these things which they do and going to get there and sing songs. And they're so zealous that, you know, these people are zealous for a lot of things inside of this life. That's why that man, he had the t-shirt, the billboard that says, I'm a fool for Christ. Amen. Whose fool are you? That's the greatest thing to be zealous about. Amen. Is to be zealous about Christ and his word. To be zealous about his message, to be zealous about his promises, to be zealous about his work, because every single one of us has been given a portion of this work to do. And I can't do your work and you can't do mine. And for me to successfully finish this course and to do the will of him that sent him, it's going to take zeal, because Jesus needed that same zeal to finish the work that he was sent to do. And that's why he gives us that zeal. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, he says, above all things, have fervent charity. That's zeal. Have zealous love. Let your love be passionate for one for another. Let your love be ardent. Don't let your love wax dim. Don't lose that first love. The song says, don't lose your vision of Jesus. Friend, it's an easy thing to do. It says, don't lose your vision of Jesus. Keep your eyes ever on him. Because so many others along the way have lost their vision of him.
Yes, sir.
Ah, friends. Yes, sir. And if you've lost your vision, prayer meeting is the perfect place to start getting things back in focus. Coming back to the altar and pouring out your soul. Oh, my friend, that's an important thing. Let's see one more thing about zeal before we come for prayer. What does James say about it in the book of James? Chapter 5, verse 16. We know this scripture well, but let's just look at it in this context. James chapter 5, verse 16. What does James say about the type of prayer that we should pray? He says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Fervent means zealous. It's a zealous, it's a burning, it's a bubbling type of prayer. It's a prayer that's got a feeling, it's got a passion behind it. It's not just saying a mumbo jumbo of words because other people are praying. Now, to bring it right down to a close, Jesus was wholehearted in all that he did. Is that not true? Did Jesus ever do anything half-heartedly? He threw himself into what he did. His whole heart, his strength, everything he did when he went to do something for his father, he poured himself into that thing.
Amen.
And friend, that is what James is trying to tell us about prayer. He's trying to tell us, no, don't allow your prayer to be that Laodicea, lukewarm type of a prayer. But pray and come into his presence and spend time there and spend time in communion with him. And let his word burn inside of your heart like them on the way to Emmaus. Let the flame be kindled and feed that flame of zeal inside of you so that when you pray, it's a zealous, fervent type of prayer. And that's the type of prayer that gets the job done, James is telling us. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In the Amplified Bible, it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Ah, friends, as we come to pray, let's come with all our heart.
Amen.
It doesn't mean you have to shout. Doesn't mean it has to be long. Doesn't mean it has to be loud. But do it with all your heart.
Amen.
Even if you've never prayed with all your heart before, just say, Lord, for the next minute or two when everybody's praying, I'm going to pour out my soul. I'm going to speak from my heart. I'm not going to pray from my mind the way that I normally pray.
Amen.
Yeah. or pray and my mind is wandering off somewhere else. But Lord, you see where I am. You know the situation that I have. I need you to come and step into my situation. Lord, I need to see you present tense. I need to raise you up out of history at this time. I need to update my experience from last year up to today again. I need my testimonies no more to be back in the pages of my spiritual diary, but I need a fresh entry now. Amen. And friend, it's going to need some fervent prayer, because it's the fervent prayer, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. And that is why Paul finishes off and he says in Titus, he says, be zealous unto good works. Because we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works.
Amen.
That's the works that our Father's given us to do for him. But we need to be zealous unto these works, because there's so much opposition, so many things to discourage us. If you don't have a zeal in the things that you're doing, you're going to run out of steam, like we've done many times. But let's come back to the author of the zeal that's in us. Let's come back to the one who lit that flame of zeal in the beginning. And let's say, Father, light the flame again. Stir it up. Stir up the gift of God that is within you, like Paul said to Timothy. Let's come and seek him in prayer, friends. I believe such a Savior deserves such a type of prayer. Such a Savior deserves such kind of worship. Because you're in a body of clay that's going to weigh you down. If you don't have a zeal inside of your soul, my friend, you're going to have 99 days out of 100 that you're not going to do anything for the Lord.
Yes, sir.
But zeal presses beyond affliction. Zeal presses beyond persecution. Zeal presses beyond the conditions that are surrounding you, because it wants to express itself.
Amen.
So let's come to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be like you. Because the zeal of your Father's house consumed you.
Amen.
Lord, come and kindle that flame. Let something burn inside of me once again. That as I'd go from this place, there might be something that presses me on to be and to do what I'm supposed to do. Let's stand. Let's come to a time of prayer, saints, before the Lord. Brother George, if you can lead us in one song there, brother. Let's come. Like I said, it doesn't have to be long, but let it be fervent. Let it be sincere. Let it come from the depth of your heart. And whatever the Lord lays upon your heart, you speak to the Lord about it this evening.
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me.
Thank you, Lord, for your voice, but I long to rise in the arms of faith. And be closer drawn to thee. Please, Lord, draw me nearer, draw me nearer, oh, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy cross. Consecrate me, Lord, consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of
grace.
Receive I. Let my soul look up, let my soul look up with a steadfast hope. Yeah. blessed load to thy cross where thou is died. Domine ra, nero, nera, blessed load to thy gracious bleeding side. Oh, the beauty light, oh, the beauty light of a scene, one single hour that before thy throne I speak. When I kneel in prayer, when I kneel in prayer, and with thee, my God, I commune. Hallelujah! With Dominero, Domine, Mira. Oh yes, please, Lord, where thou hast died. Domine, Nero, Nera, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love, there are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. Oh, there are heights of joy, there are heights of joy that I may not know. Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Let's pray, saints. Let's call upon the name of the Lord. Oh, Father, I want to thank you, Lord, upon this night. A close sense. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 11. There's people that went before us that left us footprints on the sands of time. And the blessed Apostle Paul is one of them. What an inspiration the man was. I long for the day to shake his hand and to say, Brother Paul, what an inspiration that you were. 2 Corinthians 11, let's read from verse 23. Paul says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. Hey. How many of us have been put in prison because of the gospel? And zeal doesn't worry about the prison bars. and writes the New Testament while it's in prison. Zeal writes the book of Revelation when it's in Patmos. My. He says in prisons, yeah? More frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, saved one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A day and a night I've been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils by my own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now, not a single one of us here would read that and say Paul is complaining, because he's not. He's not complaining. He's not looking for our pity. He's not trying to say, hey, brothers, this has been a tough week for me. I was beaten with rods. He's not trying to say I was stoned with stones and the disciples had to stand around me. Friends, zeal looks beyond those things. Paul was looking to finish his course. Paul had a vision before him. He had a heavenly vision. And Jesus revealed himself to him and said to him, Paul, I've raised you up for this purpose. And there was a zeal burning inside of the soul of Paul ever since he met him on the road to Damascus. And there was nothing the devil could do to put that zeal out. The devil tried anything, and the more that he did, the more zealous Paul became. Ah, friends, there's wonderful things in the Bible. May the word become flesh in us. Hallelujah. Take courage, saint. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Just be zealous. If you've done wrong, don't worry about it. The Bible says, just be zealous and repent. Amen. Even when you're repenting, the Bible says, be zealous in your repentance. Yes, sir. Not a half-hearted repentance, a dried-eyed confession. Get serious with God. Uproot that sin inside of your life. Amen. If you want to overcome it. There's lots of wonderful things in the Bible. Does anybody have any requests before we close in prayer? Apart from my normal requests, praying for Sunday service, praying for Sunday school on Sunday, praying for youth. Praying for our young people. Let's pray for the saints in Southampton, because I'm really sad to hear that Brother Samuel Fields passed away. I don't know if the saints were aware of that. Pastor Samuel Fields, he passed away in Southampton. So pray for the saints there. They don't have a pastor there now. There's lots of other things I'm sure that you know need to be prayed about. Let's pray for our church, looking now for the Lord to guide us and lead us, the application for the funds, all the things that are before us. Let's pray for evangelism. Let's pray whatever it is that you got inside of your heart. You know what you need to pray for. What, any specific requests? Does anybody have any specific requests? Brother George.
The saints can keep me in prayer. Like I can't do anything. But I'm not well.
Yeah.
So I just tonight I just got enough strength to take running quickly before I get sick again.
Amen.
So if the Lord can just give me strength.
Amen. Let's pray for Brother George. Amen.
If the Lord is willing, it's the Lord's will.
Amen. His will be done. And I think Brother Jesse has also got an interview. Yeah, Brother Jesse, yeah. Let's pray for Brother Jesse. Was it today? Tomorrow. Let's pray for the brother as well. Amen. Oh. Let's pray for Brother Wilmore going to Spain next week. Tarshish. Anybody else? Maybe it's an unspoken request. We don't pray for unspoken requests in this place. Ever since Brother George Martin told us about the unspoken request. Do you know the story of the unspoken request? The sister who came in the prayer line all the time to Brother George Martin said, please, it's an unspoken request. And Brother George would take her by the hand and pray for her. Then after some time, she came to repent to Brother George, saying, my unspoken request was that your wife would die so that you'd marry me. So we said, we don't take any more unspoken requests in this place. That's between you and the Lord. You keep it in your heart. Amen. Let's sing one song, Brother George, before we come to a close. Maybe we can ask Brother Will, you come please, Brother, and put all these things before the Lord, whatever the Lord lays upon your heart. And God bless you, saints. Let's meet on Sunday. We'll try to give a little bit of a report on Sunday of the trip to Russia. I don't want to say anything tonight because I'll do it on Sunday. It was a wonderful time. Really do appreciate your prayers. It was a really, really blessed time. So you keep us in prayer as well.
Kick him down, kick him down. Have the devil on the run. The Son of God must not be trodden down. So keep that mamba down. Kick him down, kick him down. Have the devil on the run. The Son of God must not be trodden down, so kick that mamba down. Arise and shine, King Theophany has come. Let's hold to his unchanging hand. Praise the Lord, praise his name, and be garrisoned by prayer. Don't let the devil take your confidence or in your heart to fear. Don't you hate your brother, that's the root of bitterness. We've got to walk in that way of holiness. Kick him down, kick him down. Have the devil on the run. A Son of God must not be trodden down, so kick him down, kick him down. Have the devil on the run. A Son of God must not be trodden down, so kick that mamba down. Cover your face, cover your feet with reverence and humility. Let's go into action with God's given ability. Stand flat-footed in your trials, though they may be sometimes mean. Always remember to kill Jesus on that sin. Remember every day, have the token on display. It's an act of love, so follow that dove. That's no white dove. Kick him down, kick him down. Have the devil on the run. A Son of God must not be trodden down, so kick that mamba down. Kick him down, kick him down. Have the devil on the run. A Son of God must not be trodden down, so kick that mamba down. Unconquered by tradition, in this day we stand. Like Joshua and Caleb, we are going to take that land. But brother, it won't be easy, it's not a flowery bed of ease. Remember that old devil, he'll bring on that terrible squeeze. Don't let them be blue, wondering what you're gonna do. We're on that seventh pit, and we'll just pay. We'll just pay. Kick him down, kick him down. Have the devil on the run. A Son of God must not be trodden down, so kick that mamba down. Kick him down, kick him down. Have the devil on the run. The Son of God must not be trodden down, so keep that mamba down.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, how thankful we are tonight, Lord, for the word that has come to minister unto us, Father. We are so thankful because, Lord, when you look from heaven and you look below, you saw exactly what we needed, O God. For many times, Lord, the devil comes and eats away at our experiences, Lord. And he eats and eats, Lord, until the zeal that was once in us, Father, is almost so faint that it's not there, O God. And we're just going, Lord, half-heartedly doing things, Father, as a duty. But, Father, we are glad for your grace and mercies that has come tonight, Lord, to remind us and to show us, Lord, of the things that you have done, oh Father, that we could have this message. The things, Lord, that men have gone through, Lord, to preserve this word and to deliver this message unto us, Father. Lord, they were all zealous for thine house. Lord, oh God, and even you, Lord, how you went steadfastly to the cross, Father, without looking back. Oh Father, you were so determined that I could be saved, Father. You were so zealous for thine house, Lord. Father, that Lord, oh God, you died even for me on a cross, oh Father. That, Father, I could be free to worship you. That, Father, I could be saved. That I could be your son. For all I know, Lord, I could be a statistic tonight of some prison somewhere. Or I could be a murderer or something else, oh Father. But you loved me so much and preserved my life, Lord. Every turn, Lord, that we all took, Father, you were guiding us zealously, oh Father, to bring to us to a certain place, oh Father. How thankful we are for that, Lord. And we are so ashamed of ourselves tonight, Lord, when we look at the amount of zeal that you had for us and how we respond to that, oh Father. Many times, Lord, even considering to just stay home, Lord, when the service is on, I pray that you have mercy upon us again tonight, Father. I pray that you give us another chance, oh God, that Father, as the day rises tomorrow, Father, may we be about the Father's business, oh God. Help us in every little thing that we do. It be preparing for a Sunday school class, Lord, it be preparing for music, it be preparing to clean the church, it be preparing, oh God, Father, even to operate the computer or whatever it is, Father. Lord, may we put all our hearts into it, Father. Lord, may we put all that we have, Father, into the things of the kingdom of heaven. For Lord, there's nothing else that matters in this world. Even if we should have all the money, what does it benefit us if we should lose our souls? So help us, Father, that Lord, as we walk, Lord, being led of thy light, may we be zealous, O God, for thy word. No matter what the world may call us, no matter what the neighbors may think of us, Lord, Father, help us, Lord, that we do what we would do for you with all our hearts in it, Lord. Bless your people, I pray. Lord, remembering those that were not here tonight, even our brother Scott was not well, I pray, Father, that you touch him and heal him, oh God. For he loves you, Lord. He loves thine house. He loves, oh God, to serve you, Lord. I pray you restore his strength and that he'll be in the midst of the congregation the next time that we meet, oh God. Bless our brother George as well, Lord. We commit him to you. Touch him, Lord, and heal him, oh Father. Lord, oh God, we've had many, many testimonies in his life. We want another new one, oh God. Father, may you provide for him, Lord, that which he desires, Lord. Strengthen him, Father. Lord, give him a job, Father, that will not keep him away from service, oh God, but a job that would allow him, Lord, to serve you, Lord, with the zeal, Lord, Father. Oh God, we pray for our brother Jesse as well with the interview tomorrow. Amen. Father, may you go with him, oh God. Amen. Grant him grace, Father. Lord, may we hear a good report from there, Father. I pray, Lord, for your people. I pray for the congregation. I pray for the church. You know the juncture of time where we are, Lord. We just ask that you help us to make this turn the right way, oh God. We commit, oh Father, all this program into thine hands, oh Father. Bless even the program on Sunday. We pray, Father, that you be in it, Lord. Father, may we come with such expectation that, Lord, oh God, just entering these doors, something will happen in our hearts, oh Father. Oh, and that, Father, we would rejoice at the hearing of thy word. Bless us, Father, with such a blessing, I pray. Even as we go home tonight, Father, may we, oh Father, continue to think on this word, how you have spoken to us, Father, and you have shown us, oh God, how you were zealous, oh Father, for us to receive this message. May it never become a common
common thing, but that, Lord, we will esteem it, Lord, and be zealous for it, oh God. Bless our pastor tonight. We thank you for bringing him home safely. Lord, we thank you for keeping his family safe. Lord, we ask, Father, that you continue, Lord, to use him. Even the word that was sown there in Russia, Lord, may it achieve what you sent it for, Lord. Remembering the saints in England, Lord, that lost a pastor, Lord, we pray for them that you would help them, Lord, to stabilize them at this hour, Lord, and provide once more for that flock, oh God. We pray for them, oh God, and we commit now everything into your hands. Bless us as we go home, Lord. Keep us safe, Lord, and I pray that you be with me also, Lord, as I would go away next week, Father. I just pray you keep me safe, Lord, and my family, and that you watch over them, Lord, until I'm back also. I just commit, Lord, the saints to you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's dismiss as we sing one chorus here, Brother George, if you've got it for us, Brother.
Come out, come in, come out. The spirit of Elijah turns us back. Come and drink of this well, you will never thirst again. Whoa, the spirit and the bride say,